Today's shiur is Masechta Bechorus Daf Nun Tes, and we will begin on Daf Nun Chesam Beis at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah continues discussing the actual procedure for taking Maisa Behema. Says the Mishnah, Be'ez Tzad Masrim, exactly how is Maisa Behema taken? Says the Mishnah, Koinsel with deer, all the animals are taken into a pen. For Oyselam Pesach cotton, and a small opening is made. Kedosh Lo Yeshnai Michaelim Letzais Ka'achas, in order that no two animals should be able to go out together, or mine them and they count, Allah beis gimel dalet hei vav zayin ches tes, 1-9, vayotzi asiri, and the animal that goes out 10th, soike besikira, besikra, they make a mark on it, vama hareza mice, and it's designated as the miser animal. There's a nice chassidish of art on this procedure from the Harnas Stipler Rebbe. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood human nature. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that if you tell a person that the first animal that he has to give for Maisa Behema, he'll do it because that's what the Torah tells him to do, but he's going to have difficulty doing it. So what does the Torah tell him? First animal is yours, second animal is yours, third animal is yours, up to 9 animals are all yours. So then it's easier to give away the 10th animal. Continues the Mishnah, like Sakra B'Sikra, if he didn't make this mark, or like Manam B'Shevet, or he didn't go through hitting each one with a stick. And as the Chaznish points out from our Mishnah, it indicated that not only is the 10th animal the one that has to be hit, but every animal, not too hard. Ashemanam Revutzma Oimdim, another din that we referred to in our previous year, even if you didn't go through this entire procedure, but the animals are all standing or crouching, and you designated an animal as the 10th animal, still, Harei Elumis Asrim, it's a legitimate way to go through the Maisa procedure. Continues the Mishnah, Hayolei Meya, if somebody had 100 animals for Natal Asara, and he picked out 10 of the 100 as those will be his Maisa animals, or Asara, he had 10 animals, the Natal Echon chose and just picked that one, that will be his Maisa animal, and the Maisa. The Tanna Kamma holds that is not a legitimate way of performing the Maisa procedure. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, I mean Maisa, it is a legitimate way of performing the Maisa procedure. Continues the Mishnah, Kofetz Echon Amenuyim L'Toychon, which means, I'm going through the Maisa procedure, and I counted an animal, one, two, whatever, one of the animals, and then one of these animals that have gone through already this procedure and have been, so to speak, counted, jumps back into the pen, jumps back into, stand between all the animals that have not yet been counted, Harel Peturim. Why? Because Alocha, as we've learned previously, we learned at the end of yesterday's shir, as a sire vaday amrachmana, only an animal which is certainly a 10th animal is chay, is there's a din for loy sofik. And here we have a situation of a sofik. Why do we have a situation of a sofik? Because maybe the animal that's being included in the procedure is an animal that's been counted already. And as the Mefarshim make a number of very important points on this din. One, they say, this din of Asiri Vadai, Veloy Sofik Asiri, is not set in a situation where I already have the animal. Here we're talking about, do we have an obligation to go through the Maisa procedure? And the law is that we don't have this obligation to go through the Maisa procedure if there's an animal amongst these animals that doesn't have the obligation. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, we see that the din of Asiri Vadai Veloy Sofik Asiri is not limited to a situation where there's a question of Metzias. Even when there's a question in Halacha, that din applies. Ask the Shef Shmaitza, if our Mishnah is teaching us that when it comes to Hilchas Maisa Behema, we don't rely on Roif, and that's why even though most of the animals here are animals that have an obligation for Maisa Behema, there's only one animal that jumped in that doesn't, we don't rely on Roif. So he reminds us of a Gemara that we learned in Masechta Chulin. The Gemara said in Masechta Chulin that actually every time you shecht an animal, how do you know it's kosher? Maybe the spot where you cut the animal, there was a hole there. And the animal, if it has a hole on the Kanon Devashit, is a treifa. So we learned the Gemara together, Masechta Chulin, that Raiv, we can rely that most animals don't have a hole in the Kanan Veshit. So if there's a din by Maisa Behema, then we don't rely on Raiv. And if we learned in the previous year that an animal which is Trefa, there's no din of Maisa Behema, so how can we ever give Maisa Behema? We always need to rely on Raiv that it's not a Trefa. So he gives two answers. One answer, he says, the Raiv that an animal is not Treif is a Raiv B'teva. It's the way the world is. A Raiv in the nature of the world is not the Raiv that the Torah meant you shouldn't rely on by Maisa Behema. That's one teretz he gives. Then he gives another teretz, and I think we've quoted this teretz previously, is that if we're only relying on the Raiv for Hilchus Meiser, so to rely on Raiv for Hilchus Meiser, we don't rely on Raiv. But here we're not relying on Raiv for Hilchus Meiser, we're relying on Raiv for Hilchus Kashrus. That's what we're saying, the animal's a kosher animal. If we're relying on the Raiv anyway for another reason, we could rely on it for Meiser Behem as well. But then there's a very fundamental discussion here. I would almost use the word a shas discussion. Tysus asks Akasha, what happened here? We have all the animals in the pen that are certainly obligated in going through the Maisa Behema procedure. And there's one animal that already went through the procedure that jumped in. So most animals here are obligated. So why don't we follow Raif? Because of Tarakulu, we follow Raif. And Tysus says, it's a Tysus at the beginning of Masechet and Davov, Taisus says, even though an animal is a barrier, and a barrier doesn't become bottle, and even though an animal is a dovish of a minion, and a dovish of a minion doesn't become bottle, those are all dinim midarais derabanan. And the Amish is speaking of midarais, that you have a chiv. Why don't you have a chiv? Because you should rely on Raif. So the Rishonim grapple with this question, and there are essentially two approaches in the Rishonim how to look at this question. One approach in the Rishonim is that indeed it's only midrabanan that it's not bottle, but the rabbanon have an ability to affect even a deraisa de gadin. And therefore, since midrabanan it's not bottle midrabanan either. The Ritva has a very interesting approach, and this is where we're going to focus on. Machlokes Ritva and Rosh. The Ritva's approach is that absolutely Tosfos is correct. We ought to rely on Raif. Just what? The Torah HaKadoshah tells us a special din by Meiser, Meiser Vadei V'loi Sofik. Here, it's an exception to the rule, don't rely on Raif. That's how the Ritva answers. The Rosh answers differently. And the Rosh speaks to the heart of Raif. He says, what does Raif tell us? He says, let's think about it. The classical example of Raif is if a piece of non-kosher meat falls into your pot of kosher. He says and Raiv of the meat in the pot is kosher. Does that make the non-kosher meat kosher? It's still not kosher. The Torah tells us that under certain circumstances that you don't know what to do, I'll tell you what to do. Rely on Raiv. You don't know what to do with this pot of meat. Most of the meat in the pot is kosher. Some of the meat that fell in is not kosher. Torah tells you, Raiv, you could eat the meat. So Raiv doesn't tell you that anything changed. Raiv tells you what to do under the circumstances. But it doesn't tell you what to do. And since Raiv doesn't tell you the reality is the reality. So the reality here is as well that one of the animals were already gemeisert and there's no chiyuv meiser behema. Where is this discussion relevant? It's relevant to numerous issues. I'm going to mention two questions. One is a very famous shaila. As I just said, b'chol ha'Torah kula, we rely on Raiv. So what's the halacha? Asked the Paiskim, Dining Yontif discusses the Shaila. You have kosher tzitzis, a whole pack of kosher tzitzis, and some non-kosher tzitzis was made lishma, whatever the disqualification is, falls in amongst those other tzitzis. So Raiv and the tzitzis are fine. Can you use all of these strands to do the mitzvah tzitzis? If we follow the opinion of the Rosh, we can't. Because the Rosh says that Raiv doesn't make something not kosher kosher. And if we have an obligation to wear strands, and all of the strands, all of the threads of our tzitzis have to be made kosher, even if I have Raiv, that doesn't make them all kosher. According to the Ritva, yes, Raiv makes something not kosher into kosher. Then I'll tell you a very interesting shaila. The Paiskum discussed, many Paiskum discussed this question. And I'll discuss it the way the Beis Hill tells us the shaila went. Somebody had a slaughterhouse. He slaughtered 7 animals. 2.5 of the animals he sent out to the butcher shop. 4.5 animals he kept for himself. And they were still in the slaughterhouse. And just to help understand what happens in a slaughterhouse, when you slaughter an animal, you cut the animal into quarters, into 4 quarters. The back half we don't eat, so you had 14 quarters here, right? You shuck 7 animals, and you keep 2 4 quarters of every animal, 7 times 2 = 14. So he sent out 2.5, 5 4 quarters were sent to the butcher shop, and 9 are home. And then he discovers that one of the animals that he has in his house, one of the 4 quarters that he has in his house, is a trefah. So, big machloikas hapoiskin what to do here. Chalkas machloikik says that how would we naturally paskin the shaila? It seems to be a fairly simple question. We have a rule, the kalatayra kula, called the parish meruba parish. So the animals that went, that were sent to the butcher shop, we say the roiv of the animals in the slaughterhouse are kosher, are kosher. The animals that were not sent out are kavua. But we end up with a very interesting situation. We have one of the quarters, one of the animals is half in the butcher shop and half in the slaughterhouse. And says the Chalkas Mechaikik, and he quotes a Taz, you can never end up in a situation where the very same animal, half is kosher and half isn't. And that's what's going to happen here. 1 4 quarter, there's one animal that's divided in half because you sent 5 4 quarters, right? So there's one animal, 1 4 quarters in the butcher shop and 1 4 quarters in the slaughterhouse. You can never end up in a situation, says the Chalkas Mechaikik, that half your animal you can eat and half the animal you can't. You're either kosher or you're not. The Pri Chodesh disagrees. He says, why not? How do we understand the Pri Chodesh? Say the Achroinim, the Pri Chodesh is understood based on what we just said now. Because what did the Rosh teach us, says the Pri Chodesh? That what does Roiv tell us? Roiv doesn't tell us that it's kosher or not. Roiv tells us what to do. I have a Shaila. I'm a Rav. I don't know what to do. So Roiv tells us what to do. So here Roiv tells us that the quarter that's in the butcher shop, you may eat, and the quarter that's in the house, that's in the slaughterhouse, you may not eat. The Bechor Shor takes a very interesting approach, La'aloch L'maisa. He says, if you think about it logically, if you think about it apilomdis, the Pre-Chodesh is 100% correct. But if you think about it with your heart, to have a situation where half the animal is declared non-kosher and half the animal declared kosher is something that's hard to accept. One more din, says the Mishnah. Minha musarim l'toicham. So here, as we're going to learn, what happened here is that the animal that was designated to be the maaser animal jumped back in. And you don't know which one it is. So kulan yirach yistavu v'yoichel m'mum l'balam. So since you don't know which is the animal that's gemaisered, and if it's gemaisered, as long as it's healthy, it should be brought as a carbon. So you have to wait till they all become balimum, because every animal you have a suffix. Maybe it's the animal that's maiser, and then you could eat it, because that is always the halacha with maiser animal that becomes balimum. From the first blot of this parak, we've learned that halacha. So this morning, as I was preparing this shir, I discovered an incredible discussion amongst the achrayim, which is probably relevant to almost every daf in the Kodesh Masechtas. This issue of killing Yirach Yistavu, that you have a question because you don't know what to do, you let the animal become Balmum, or sometimes we had many times, Chomish Chattis, Mesis, we have to let the animal die, ask the Achrayim why. There's a fundamental solution. Hegdish is a form of a nether. So why don't you just go be Mata Nether? Just go be Mata Nether and the Hegdish will dissipate and your question falls away. So actually, as far as Maisa Behem is concerned, there are many Achroinim. Hopefully still in today's shir, I'll be able to prove that there are Achroinim that say that Maisa Behem is different than all other types of Hegdish. And Maisa Behem is the type of situation where you can't be Mata Nether. So I've answered the question in our Mishnah, but I still haven't answered all the other sugyas. Why in all the other sugyas that we have this concept of Kulin Yirach Yistavu or Mesis, don't we just have a simpler solution? The simpler solution is just let the just be shoyl on the nether, and it's no longer hegdish, and you have no problem. So actually, this question is the basis of machloikis between the Shach and the Taz, and Hilchas HaTaras Nadarim. Let's think about the situation. I was magdish an animal. I don't regret being magdish the animal. What happened here? Circumstances occurred that end me up with a real problem. Says the Taz, that isn't a legitimate reason to be matan nether. To be matan nether, you have to regret the nether. You don't regret the nether. You regret the circumstances you ended up with. And therefore, the Rav can't be matan nether under these circumstances. That's the Taz. Shach disagrees. The Shach says, it doesn't make a difference. You have a good reason that you want to be matan nether, even though it's because of circumstances, and the Rav could be matan nether. So according to the Shach, we still have our kasha. So Ramey Arik says a chiddush. He says that we know that the halacha is chamish chatas mesis, that there are five situations where karm chatas has to be left to die, and it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that rule. So he says, included in the halacha l'moshe m'sinai is that you can't be matan neder. That's part of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. A very bechiddush, because that isn't really what the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says. All the halacha l'moshe m'sinai says is meisah, they should be left to die. And actually, I had a great-great-grandfather, the Machs Avram, who has very difficult time understanding Rameir Arik because of this question. So the other answer I found to this question is, but it doesn't answer all situations. I only can be matan neder as long as I have ownership and control of the animal. If I've already given the animal to Hegdish, and therefore it's no longer under my control, then I can't be matan neder. But again, that only works in a situation where I indeed turned it over. In a situation where I haven't yet turned over the animal, and I have a chrayus for the animal, then why shouldn't I be able to be matan neder? Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Be'ezet said Meiser. How exactly does the Meiser procedure work? Koinsel, there, take him into the pen. Vaislam Pesach Katan, make a small opening. Kadesh lo yeshnaim yocheilum lotzis kechad. In order that no two animals should be able to go out together. Im aseimim b'chutz. They put the mothers of these animals on the outside of the pen. V'heim b'fnim, the animals are indoors. The goyis and the mothers cry. V'yoytzis l'kras iman. And they go out to their mothers. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to go through this whole procedure? V'lifkin inu, why don't we just carry them out? Answers the Gemara, Yavr Ksiv, the Torah Kedosh says that they should go out on their own, v'loy shaviru, not they should be taken out. Ask the Gemara, fine, but why do you have to take the mother? V'lish de la yarka, why don't you just put a vegetable at the door? V'lifkul of asay, and the animals are going to go towards the vegetables. Answers the Gemara, Amrav hun gzeir mishim l'kuch mishim yasim. We've learned that an animal that is bought and an animal that's a yasim is not taken ma'isa behema. So if you're going to put out vegetables, a yasim is also going to go. So if you put out a mother, a yasim doesn't have a mother, so that will serve a reminder to you that the yasim is not mechuyiv in ma'isa behema. And also, the Rishonim explained, they typically did not buy a mother and a baby because you're always going to have a problem with oisav espinoi. So again, a lekuach, you're normally not going to have the mother, and that will serve as a reminder not to put them into the Maisa Behema pool. But ask the Mefarshim, when we learned the halacha of yosim, we learned what is not a yosim. If an animal was born and its mother is alive, and then the mother ultimately dies, that's not called a yosim. So how are you going to take Maisa Behema from that animal? So the answer, on that animal, you're going to have to use a vegetable. You have no other option. But since you know on the other one that you used the mother, you still have a reminder that a real yosim and a real lekuach don't take ma'isa behema. Tana Rabbanan, kol shiyaver, taches, prat l'treifa, shena veres. We learned in yesterday's year that a treifa is not included in the pool. Taches a shevet, mitzulam noisim a shevet. You should go with a stick. Loi manam a shevet. If you didn't use the stick, the crouching, the standing, how do we know that's still acceptable? The Siri is Kodesh under all circumstances. continues the Braisa. Velmei le karishmai siri, if you officially designated it as the 10th one. Le karishmai siri, if you didn't officially designate it, menayin, that it's still effective, tamalai me yekadosh become makam, it's still fine. However, says Dar Sameach, it has to be that even the bro, the Braisa, is teaching us that you don't even have to call it the 10th. It still has the din of Maisa Behemah. It has to be obvious that it's the 10th. That means it has to be a situation where you had only 10 animals and 9 went out, so it's obvious this is the 10th. But without at least some sort of simen that this is the 10th one, it's unacceptable. Continues the Gemara. Yachli Yelei Meya. It says we learned in the Mishnah. Let's say you start off with a group of 100 animals, but not Lassara, and you just choose 10 animals. Or Asara, you start off with 10 animals, but not Lachna, and you just pick one. Yachli Yelei Musarin. You would think that it should be a valid procedure. Tamaloima ain't a siri. The Torah says you have to designate the 10th one. V'ain's a siri, and this is not called doing it that way. Rav Yosef Yehuda, as we learned in the Mishnah, disagrees. He says it's fine. Meiser. Ask the Gemara, my Tamad, Rav Yosef ben Yehuda, what is the reasoning behind his opinion? Says the Gemara, Savala ka Abba Elazar ben Gaimel. He agrees with Abba Elazar ben Gaimel. Before we begin learning Abba Elazar ben Gaimel's opinion, we have to say a word of introduction. We know that the Torah Gedosha tells us that every year, everybody has to give, besides the Shemitah year. Shemitah year, there's no Truma Maiser. Every year you have to give Truma. Truma Gedoyla means that you have to take Truma from your produce and give it to the Kohen. Midaraisa, what's the Alocha, Chita, Achatz, Peteresis, Kri. Even one kernel is adequate. Midrabanan, they said a generous person gives a 40th, a average person gives a 50th, a stingy person gives a 60th. The next thing you have to do every year is give Maiserishin. 10% goes to the Levi. And the Levi has to give from his Maiserishin Trumas Maiser, 10% to the Kohen. In year 1 and 2, and 4 and 5, you have to give Maiser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, you give Maiser Ani. And we begin. The pasuk says that Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Tanya Belozer ben Goymel Oymer. The pasuk says, V'nachshav lachem trumoschem. B'shtei trumas akos medaber. The pasuk is referring to two types of truma. Achas truma gedoyla, the truma that we all have to give. V'achas trumas maisa that the Levi gives. Tells us Allah, Belozer ben Goymel. K'shem shet truma gedoyla nitelis b'oymet. Trumas gedoyla is taken by estimation. And here we have a very big machlokes rishonim. What does the Mishnah mean? What does the Braisa mean? Some rishonim explain that the Braisa is teaching us that you have an option. You could take truma through measuring, or if you so desire, you could take it just by estimation. Why? Because since we see the Torah wasn't so specific about the shear, so either way is fine with the Torah. That's one approach of the rishonim. But there's another approach of the Rishonim. There are Rishonim that say, not only may you take Truma Gedoyla Oymed with estimation, you must take it with estimation. Why? So I saw two explanations in their opinion. One is, we want a person to give Be'ein Yofi. We want a person to give generously. So if a person's measuring, he's going to give exactly what he's supposed to. If he's giving by estimation, and he's never going to be sure if he's giving the right amount, he's going to be generous. We want you to be generous. One pshat. Another pshat, a beautiful pshat. As I said a moment ago, what is the halacha midaraisa by truma? The halacha midaraisa by truma is chita achas peteres sakri. Say those rishonim included in the rule that the Torah HaKadosh told us that chita achas peteres sakri is that we don't want you to be specific. We want you just to do it by oimid. And the halacha also is the machshava. Machlokes rishonim what machshava means. Machlokes are the two rashis here. One opinion, which is the opinion of most Rishonim, just mental designation is adequate. Others say the mental designation is not adequate. You have to then verbalize your designation. So continues Rabbi Elazar ben Goymel, as Trumas Maiser, so too he says is Dalach by Trumas Maiser, Noitel, it can be taken, Nitalas b'Oymer Machshava. Continues the Gemara, U'Maiser Kari Rechmana Truma. We find that the Torah interchanges the word Maiser and Truma. The Ksiv, because the pasuk says, "Kes ma'aser b'nei Yisrael she'yirum l'Hashem truma nosati l'levim l'nachla." So ma'aser and truma are interchangeable, and we've also learned in this parak numerous times Riskish Maisa Behema Lamaisa Dogen. So he says, since he holds Ma Maisa Dogen regular Truma Maisa, the halacha is Nitl Ba'aymid, could be taken by estimation, or Machshava, just with Machshava, and Maisa Behema Nitl Ba'aymid or Machshava. And that's why he holds that if you just have take ten animals and you say this one is Maiser, it's good enough. Because it's no worse than Aymer and Machshava. This discussion of the Gemara that teaches us that you could take Truma by Aymer and Machshava is the source for serious conversation amongst the Rishayim and Achrayim regarding some very important issues. First of all, there are, as you just mentioned, there's Machlokes Rishayim, if this din of Aymer and Machshava is only by Truma and Trumas Maiser, or is it even by Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni? I saw three opinions. Some say it's by all Maisers, some say it's by no Maiser, some say it's by Maiser Rishon, but not by Maiser Sheni, Maiser Ani. But now we have a very interesting question that the Rishonim and Achronim discuss. One of the halachas, and it's relevant b'zman hazeh as well, is that we all know you can't take Truma and Maiser on Shabbos. Why can't you take Truma and Maiser on Shabbos? Because taking Truma and Maiser is called a Maiser Tikkun. But if our Gemara is teaching us that you could take Truma just by mental designation and estimation, so where's your Mechil Shabbos? Where's your Mechil Shabbos? You didn't do anything. You're just looking at your pile of fruit, and you say that whatever should be Truma. Why is it also to do it on Shabbos? And furthermore, the halacha is that tevel, that produce that Truma Meiser has not been removed from, is muksa. Because you're not allowed to do anything. You can't do anything with a Shabbos. Why? Take it off a verbal designation. So many Mefarshim, this is the most common teretz, they say, is that Chazal held that even a verbal designation is considered a Maisa Tikkun. A Tikkun is also in Shabbos. Very bechiddish. Because we would assume Tikkun means doing something. Another explanation that the Mefarshim suggest, another Mefarshim suggest, is that when you take Truma, there's actually two components to it. There's a Maisa Tikkun, because you can eat the rest of the fruit, and there's also a Maisa that you're making the Truma into Truma. So maybe as far as Hilchas Tikkun is concerned, it's not considered Tikkun. Because you could do it mentally, and doing it mentally can't be called an act of Tikkun. But the part that becomes Truma falls into the category of Truma, of Hegdish, and you're not allowed to be Magdish in Shabbos. Others say it's similar to Beirur, that's why, but it's a real issue. If you could do it with a mental designation, why can't you do it on Shabbos? Why is it Muksa? One more interesting discussion. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that this discussion I'm going to now repeat was the discussion at his wedding. He says when he got married, his uncle's name was Rav Wolf Eger. His mechutin's name was Rabbi Yishaya Pick. G'day le'olam. And there was a question asked. Could you be yotze mitzvah sfira? Could you be yotze the mitzvah sfira omer by writing? Today is the first day of Omer. I write Hayoyim Yom Rishon Omer. Are you mekayim the mitzvah? So, Rav Wolf Eger says, for sure not. What was his raya? He says, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim says that we make a bracha al bir chametz, but we don't make a bracha al bittel chametz. Why don't you make a bracha on the bittel, only on the beer? Because the Gemara says you don't make a bracha on a maisa that's done in your heart, that's done in your head. You only make a bracha on an act. Beer is burning, so you make a bracha. Bittel is belev, you don't make a bracha. You make a bracha on Sfiras Haimer. So it says, if you can be Mekayim Mitzvah Sfiras Haimer without any Maisa, how could you make a bracha on Sfiras Haimer? It must be, said Rav Wolf Eger, the only way to fulfill the Mitzvah Sfiras Haimer is by saying it, which means a Maisa. Said Rav Yishaya Pick. That's what Rav Wolf Eger paskin. Said Rav Yishaya Pick, I'll show you that you're wrong. We all know that when somebody takes off Truma Maisras, you make a bracha. But Al Gemar said you could do Truma or Maiser without any act, just with Machshava. So if the halacha is that you could, that any mitzvah that's just done mentally, there's no bracha, And now Gemara just finished proving that by truma you can take off truma just mentally. How do you make a bracha for us as truma? It must be making a bracha. You could make a bracha even on something that's just done mentally. That was Rav Ishai Pick said. Rav Kiva Eger defended his uncle. And how does he defend his uncle? He says, truma, even though the designation may be verbal, but there's a mice involved. Because ultimately you have to be mafresh it. Ultimately you have to separate it. Ultimately you have to give it to the kohen. And then other achronim take even a step further. Because they say that, and this goes back to what I spoke about a moment ago, even if you'll say that the hafrosha is not considered a maisa, but the tikkun, the fact that till now you couldn't eat this fruit because it was tevel, and now you can eat the fruit because it's no longer tevel, is certainly considered a maisa. And that's why you can't compare tevel to sfira, and therefore truma, even though it can be done verbally, is still considered something that is a maisa, and that's why a bracha can be made. But sfira, if you could do sfira just mentally, or even just by writing, you could never make a bracha, and you have to take a seder sfira to do the mitzvah properly in order to make a bracha. Continues the Gemara. Amarava, asir me'elav hu kodesh. The tenth one becomes kodesh by itself. Ask the Gemara, menalei l'Rava ha, from where does Rava come to this conclusion? Ilei mahadatanya, maybe we'll learn it from this braisa. Only el shikar shmaya siri. Only if you've officially designated the tenth one to be a tenth one. Lo kar shma siri. If you didn't call it the tenth one, minayin that it's still good enough. Tamalayma siri yekaidish. Become makan. So you see that no verbal designation is required and still becomes kaddish. Says the Gemara, that isn't compelling. Vidilma, a suruhud lo kari. You maybe didn't call it a siri, but you did call it at least kaidish. But who says if you didn't say anything, it's still fine? El Mahadatanya. This is going to be something we're going to speak about a lot in tomorrow's shir, Be'ez Hashem. Karla Chiyah Asiri. You got confused, and you called your ninth animal tenth. The Yotza Asiri. You called the ninth animal tenth, and then the Yotza Asiri, and then the tenth animal came out. V'laydiba, and it said nothing. So the halach is as follows, says the Braisa. Hachi, the animal that came out ninth, that you mistakenly called tenth, nechbu umumai. You have to wait till it becomes bamum, and then you may eat it. Vasiri, meiser. The tenth animal has a din of meiser. But you didn't call it a siri. Yet, the braisa says that it has the din of a siri. And says the Gemara, v'dim shani hasam, divrele a siri. It's obvious, I said this far earlier, it's obvious that's the tenth. Where it's obvious, everybody will agree it's fine. Inamid achvile. They say here, the Gemara is saying, that for meiser, everybody will agree, just pointing to it is enough, and that's what happened here. So I go back to something I discussed at the beginning of the shir. There are many achroinim, the Miches Chinuch and other achroinim, that say, since by meiser behema, the aloch is, that achvile, just pointing to it is enough, it could be, so you see, it's very easy for an animal to get the designation of meiser behema, and therefore, the halacha is that you can't be shoyel ma'aser behema, because it's so easy to acquire that status. There's actually interesting machlokes achroinim, going back to an issue that we almost spoke about a moment ago. Our Gemara is telling us a chiddush here, that an animal to be ma'aser behema, pointing to it is enough. So the achroinim debate, that Tzafnis Pneich, the Rogachev discusses this, other achroinim discusses this, in every area of halacha, where you need to have a verbal designation, is pointing good enough? The Ragachev says, yeah, just like Al Gemara says here, Achvele is good enough. Everywhere, pointing is good enough. Other Achvayim say that's only by Maisa Behema where the Gemara is suggesting that Achvele is adequate, not anywhere else. But we still need to find a Makar for Rava. Al Mahadatanya. It says in Abraisa, Kar Lichia Siri, you call the ninth animal by mistake the tenth. Umes Asir Bedir, and the tenth animal just died in the pen. So the halacha says the price is chi nechal b'mum, the ninth one, since it was mistakenly called tenth, you should wait for it to become b'mum and then you may eat it. The kum b'turim, but all the animals have gone through the ma'aser procedure properly. My tama kum b'turim la'mishum the kaddish le'asiri. So you see the tenth one became kaddish even though you never designated it as the tenth one. Says the Gemara, who says that that's pshat? But Dilma, you know why all the other animals are fine? For a different reason. If the Minyan Haroi. And the Gemara now opens up, for the first time, the concept of Minyan Haroi, which we're going to speak about for almost the next plat. Minyan Haroi means as follows. Let's say I started counting animals. I started counting animals, 1, 2, 3. And for whatever reason, and everything was fine, and for whatever reason that count got interrupted, the halacha is the animals that were already counted no longer have a chiyuv of ma'aseh behemah. And the Gemara is going to give us many applications of that rule. The Chazon Ish says, of course, it's only if it happened b'shogeg that the count got interrupted. I'm not allowed to deliberately do this. So the Gemara says, maybe that's why these animals that were counted are no longer chayiv, because when you started counting, you thought you're going to be able to finish it properly. It says the Gemara Mahadatanya. It says in the Braisa, Kar L'chi Asiri. You call the ninth animal number 10. The Nishayir Asir B'dir, and you have the tenth animal still in the pen. So Allah is Hachi Nechavamuma. The ninth animal, since you mistakenly called it Maiser, you have to wait till it becomes about Mum. Vasiri Maiser. The tenth one is Maiser. Even though you didn't do anything. It's just sitting there. So you see, that's Kaddish Me'elav. But ask the Gemara, V'chanya Chi Chulun, there's another price that says that under these circumstances, the ninth one has no Kedusha at all, and it's purely Chulun. Answers the Gemara, Tane Taneka Medra of Sheshis, Hamani, these two prices actually represent the Machloikas Tanuam. Hamani, Rav Shimon ben Yehudi. The Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yehuda, Oim Mishim Rav Shimon, Afat Shi Eni Kodesh, Elam Kein Nekesh Shem, Hasiri Himenu. We're going to learn a Mishnah tomorrow, the Samach Haman Aleph. The Mishnah says as follows. If you got confused, 9, 10, and 11, got them all confused and you started calling them all Asiri. So the halacha is that the ninth one, just to tell you that it's only the 9th, 10th, and 11th are open for discussion. If you made a mistake on the 8th and you made a mistake on the 12th, it's meaningless. It's no problem at all. The 9th has Kedusha that you have to wait till it becomes Bamum. The 11th has even a higher level of Kedusha. It only gets the Shema Siri if you call the 10th one the wrong name. But let's say you didn't do anything, you didn't make any mistake with the 10th animal, but you made a mistake on the 11th animal, says the Mishnah, that's not called a mistake. So he says that the same din applies by the 9th animal. That the 9th animal doesn't have the din of Kedusha unless you made a mistake on the 10th one. LMK Nekus Shema Siri Himeni. Unless you made a mistake on the 10th one. And he makes the following argument for his point. But then Noisen, he says what I'm saying is logical. Because Ma Echer Eser, Shu Oyser Kedusha Likarv, as I just said a moment ago, the 11th one can come to a very high level of Kedusha. It can be brought as a carbon shlomim. The halacha is, ain't a Kedusha, doesn't get that then. Elam Kein Nekesh Shemus Sirim, unless you made a mistake with the 10th animal. She, so when I speak about the 9th animal, even in worst case scenario, it's never going to be brought as a carbon. It's only going to be needed to wait till it becomes a bamum. And then, only if a mistake was made with the 10th animal, will that then apply? Eloi loi. Says the Mario, logic could be refuted. Because he in the sentence, you could say just the opposite. The Echad Asur, the 11th animal, Shu Oysa Kedushli Karev, that could come to this high level Kedusha. When could it come to that high level Kedusha? Only in Nekeshem Asiri Menu. If you really made a mistake with the 10th animal, then in can it come to be brought as a carbon shlomim. Eloi. But if you didn't make such a significant mistake, loy, then the 11th animal won't be a carbon. However, the chi, Shein Oysa Kedusha Lekarif, it's never going to be a carbon. The worst that could happen is that I'm going to have to wait for it to become a mum. There the halacha is, Alpha Gav the Loi Nekesh Shem Asiri Meni, the halacha is that it gets the name of ninth that you have to wait for a mum. Inami, or another explanation, why to treat the ninth animal different than the 11th animal. Echad also the Ivrelei Asiri, the 11th comes after the 10th. So there, so only if you made a mistake on the 10th animal, that's when the 11th gets some sort of Kedusha. Eloi, but if not, noi. key, but 9 always comes before 10. The kati loy lever is siri. Dav gav the loy nekeshem is menu. 9 comes before 10, so it doesn't make a difference if you made a mistake on 10 or not. If you call the 9th to 10th, you have to wait for it to become balmum. Sulei midi, and there's nothing more to say about this. But as far as we're concerned, the answer is clear. Because the Gemara said on Amud Aleph that if you have an animal left in the pen, the 10th animal is Kodesh Me'elof. So the Gemara begins exploring this concept of Minyan Roy. That if you start counting, even though you don't culminate getting up to 10, the animals that you counted, again, I emphasize the Chazanish's word, that you acted legitimately, then there's no Mukhir Maisa Behema. Omer Rava, so comments Rava, Minyan HaRoy Paita Minale, Le Rava Ha, where is Rava noticed in? So the Gemara explores. Ilam, perhaps you'll know from the din that we learned in the Mishnah. Because we learned in the Mishnah, Kafetz Echad Minam Anuyim L'Taychon, Kulim Peturim. If one of the animals that was already part of the procedure jumped back into the pen, then all of them are no longer Chayim Mais Behema. Minuyim Gufayim D'Iftru. So these animals that jump in, what happened? Laba Minyan HaRoy. What was the case with this animal? That it must have been counted. Yet our Mishnah is teaching us that animal that's been counted is already an animal that's considered potter. Says the Gemara, who says that? That's Pshat in the Mishnah. Maybe Pshat in the Mishnah is the Dima Dasarai, that the animal that was the Meister animal is the animal that jumped back in. And that's why this din doesn't apply. That's why we don't have to go through the Meister Behema procedure anymore. Says the Gemara, that can't be Pshat. Because what's the next case of the Mishnah? Hatani. The next case of the Mishnah was that one, the animal that was designated as mice would jump back in. So if that's the case of Musarin, the previous case of Minuyin must be a case of Minyan HaRoy. Ask the Gemara, the Dima Mai Musarin, Mai Stafka. Maybe this means the mice animal, that means the counted animal, but I don't have a Minyan animal. Dekatani, Dekanam Dutani Yiro. So what the Mara is saying is that when the Mishnah said Menuim, it means an animal that was counted that culminated with mice are taken. Musar means that it's the animal that was the mice animal. But a case of Minyan HaRoy, I don't know. Ehramarava, Amar Kra, the Torah when it describes this procedure, Yaver, the Lo Shekvar Over. And explains Rava, what does the Torah Kedoshim mean? Mai Shekvar Over. What does it mean? Either osalayu, if it's an animal that went through the whole procedure, tzrich lemeim, that we don't have to do it again. Of course we don't have to do it again. El lav, the iftar of a minyan haroi. The Torah is teaching us that even though you didn't culminate the whole procedure, you just started the procedure, any animal that started going through the procedure properly, no longer has a chi of maisa behema, shma minah. And says the Gemara, tanya kavasi the rava, there's actually a brisa that corroborates this. You had 10 animals. And you bring them into the pen. And then you count it out 5. And of course, all the Mepharshim say the number 5 is Lav Dafka. And then another animal dies. If one of the animals who was counted already is the one that died, you continue. What happened, happened. But let's say one of the animals that hasn't been counted died, and now you no longer have 10 animals. So Allah is Menuyim Peturim. The animals that you already counted, even though you're never going to culminate with Ma'aseh Behema because you don't have 10 animals, are still Peturim. So any Menuyim, the animals that you don't have anymore to count, then Mitzdorah from the Garanacha put them away to combine with other animals that you should be able to do the Ma'aseh Behema procedure properly.